All right, this morning we're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. We've been, again, working our way through the book of James, and if you've have been tracking with us and tracking along in this, you understand, hopefully, a little bit about how this book is unfolding. Remember, we came out of chapters 1 and 2 looking at the description, the characteristics, if you will, of living faith. And then we came to the end of chapter 2, and James talks about dead faith, intellectual faith, and then living faith or saving faith. That was the end of chapter 2. And then he comes into chapter 3 and into chapter 4, and he's talking about how does living faith play out? What does living faith look like as it's being applied in our lives? So kind of a test, if you will, a litmus test of what our saving faith is to do for us. And we come through the first section of James chapter 3, and it's all about the tongue. Saving faith changes the way we talk. Saving faith changes the way we communicate. Saving faith is going to change our life in that manner. And then we talked about wisdom, the wisdom that God gives to us, that he communicates with us. And then we come into James chapter 4, and as Ben preached a couple weeks ago from verses 1 through 5 on where do all these fightings come from? Where do all these quarrelings come from? Where do all these issues within our body come from? Well, they come from within. They come from a heart that is seeking to have something it can't have. It comes from the flesh manifesting itself. And then we looked last week at how James communicated to us this matter of getting grace or receiving grace from God. And looking at verse 6, again, like we looked at last week, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And again, how do we receive God's grace? It has to do with salvation, but it has to do with everyday life as well. We submit ourselves. The relationship, as he says there in verse 7 and then verse 11, verse 10, the relationship of humility and submission. I humble myself and I submit myself to God. God gives me the grace that I need in order to live my life, to be drawn closer to him and drawn closer in a relationship with God. And so then I can check myself. How much grace am I showing to other people? How much grace do I give to somebody else? God has lavished upon us. Ephesians talks about this. God has lavished upon us his grace. There's not a person in this room. I mean, this isn't just an American Papua New Guinea comparison that we've kind of had this morning. This is a saved, unsaved comparison. If you put your faith and trust in Christ, there is no way for you to comprehend fully the amount of grace that God has given to you, that has saved you and has redeemed you, and God has lavished that upon you. And now we are to lavish that upon others. We are to give grace to others, and yet our pride will often prohibit us from doing that because we justify in our minds why someone may not need as much grace as I think they need. And so we come to verses 11 and 12, and James is really tying together what he's been communicating through verses 1 through 10, but it's an interesting passage. These two verses together kind of are an interesting way that James is communicating. They, at least in my mind, they don't have a natural flow of just a nice progression, kind of like verses 6 through 10 did. You know, humble yourselves, and you do this, 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 this. It's just a neat progression. It's a neat understanding of that process. Verses 11 through 12 are almost James's way of summarizing verses 1 through 10 and doing it in such a way that it requires us to kind of work our way through these two verses a little bit at a time. And so this morning, we're going to look at verses 11 through 12 and look at the title, The Blasphemy of a Slandering Judge. The blasphemy of a slandering judge. So verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's have a word of prayer before we begin this morning. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. Even as we've sung about this morning, it's the power of the cross that allows us to have that relationship with you. What an amazing thing that your Son did for us. Father, may we never lose sight, never take for granted, never diminish what Jesus Christ has done for us. Father, I pray this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to the truths that you have for us in these two verses this morning that we'll look at. Father, as we think through this process of coming out of verses 1 through 5 and then 6 through 10 and now verses 11 and 12 to see what James is communicating to us, may our lives be a demonstration of your grace at work. May our lives be a demonstration of humility and submission to you. May our lives be a demonstration of your love for others. Father, may you make us to be a church that is a loving, gracious, merciful church. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. James begins verse 11 and he says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." Remember, he's coming out of verses 6 through 10 where he's talked about the answer to verses 1 through 5. This is all, it all kind of builds on itself. So 1 through 5, James says, where do the fightings and quarrels and where do your issues come from? They come from within, those things that you want but you can't have. And you are selfish, you're proud, you're full of yourself. So then he comes into verses 6 through 10 and he says, well, here's how we deal with that. We need to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God, and God will give us grace. He opposes the proud, which is a strong word. Remember that verbiage from last week. God encamps around us like an army in a brilliant display and basically says, you will never succeed if you're proud. I mean, that is a remarkable statement that he makes there in verse 6. So we humble ourselves, we submit ourselves to God. God grants to us the grace that we need in order to combat the struggles that we have in verses 1 through 5, the temptations that we have to fight and to quarrel and to have all these personal issues with one another. And now James kind of comes back into that practical realm. He's really, in essence, tying verses 11 and 12 back into verses 1 through 5. He gave us the solution to it. We need God's grace. We need to humble ourselves. We need to submit ourselves to God. And now verses 11 through 12, he's really kind of coming back to touch on that practical aspect of verses 1 through 5. So he says in verse 11, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." The word there for brothers, some of you may have a different translation, but the word there for brothers is both brothers and sisters. This isn't, in other words, this isn't just guys who struggle with this. It's not that James is just writing to men and saying, oh, men, you're the only ones that deal with this, so you need to work on this. So women, you can speak evil, but men, you can't. That's not what James is saying. He's using that word as a generic term for both men and women. So here's the command. This is the command that is being given by James. Do not speak evil against one another. And then he begins to explain why. Why did he say that? Because if we just stop right there, most of us would probably say, well, you know what? That's probably a good thing. Like, you know, we should be nice to people. We should talk nicely to people. We should communicate nice things to people. And so we would probably sit there and say, well, that's true. Don't speak evil against one another. That's not nice, right? And we hear our mom's words in our head, you know, speak nicely, speak kindly. And that's true. That's on one level. That is true. It's not nice. It's not kind. It's not edifying. Don't speak evil against it. But James says, I want to have a discussion about a little deeper matter than just it's not nice or it's not kind. Because sometimes as Christians, we just leave it right there and we say, well, it's not nice to speak evil about somebody else, so I shouldn't do it. So what happens? Well, what happens is we get into a moment where we feel fully justified to speak evil about someone, and that whole mom voice in our head that says, be nice, goes out the window, and we say, you know what, I'm just going to say what needs to be said, and I don't care if it comes across mean or harsh or nasty or whatever, I'm just going to say it. And so we can justify in our heads how we've come to the conclusion that it's okay to not have to speak kindly all the time to people. Well, James says, let's go deeper on this. Let's take a look at this from a deeper standpoint because there's something bigger at play here. So he says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So James is now equating the law into this. He's bringing the law into play. He says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay, if you're reading through this from verse 11, you may say, well, okay, wait a second. I was following you with that first phrase, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. But now we're talking about the law and a doer and a giver of the law. And How did we go to the law all of a sudden? What is James trying to get across to us? Then in verse 12, he says, there's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? So it's very easy for us to kind of come out of this going, okay, don't speak evil against each other. And then James was throwing the law around there, and the lawgiver and the law doer and all these different things. What is James trying to get? What's the philosophy? What's the biblical thought behind what James is saying? Because the command that he gives at the top of verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. That's the command. So what's James doing with all this other stuff? Well, let's pick through this a little bit differently than maybe we would other sermons, where it's just, here's your imperatives, here's your commands, and this is what you're supposed to do. And let's just ask ourselves some questions. Because this is really a good test in Bible study. If you happen to be reading James 4, verses 11 through 12 this week in your Bible reading, and you came across 11 and 12, you may be tempted to say, okay, don't speak evil against one another. I don't know what else he was saying. He said a lot of other stuff, and I don't know what he was trying to get at. So just don't speak evil, and let's just move on to verse 13. But good Bible study says, let's ask ourselves some questions. Let's pick through this and say, why does James say what he says? Remember, no words, no phrases, no thoughts are in the Bible randomly. So if they're in the Bible, we need to account for them, and we need to be able to say that's what James is trying to communicate. So we're just going to ask ourselves, I think it's seven different questions as we go through this in a quick amount of time this morning. First question is this, what is the law? We kind of have to go down into the heart of verses 11 and 12 because James is bringing out the law. He went from do not speak evil against one another, brothers, to now he's talking about the law. So we need to define the law. What is the law? What's James talking about when he's talking about the law? Well, the law is this. The law is to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the essence of the law. We saw that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the law, the heart of the law was loving one another. The heart of the law was loving your neighbor. It was loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It was loving your neighbor as yourself. Then he comes into the New Testament, and we see the question that is given to Christ in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And remember what Christ said back to the man? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So when James is communicating, as he says here, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law. So now we've defined the law. Okay, so we're speaking evil. James is saying it's not just about that person. Let's say you're really irritated at somebody and you speak evil about that person. You speak evil and try to slander and try to defame and try to harm that person. James says it's not just about that person. There's something deeper that you're actually doing. James says you're actually speaking about the law. You're talking about the law. And what is the law? The law is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's why our mission here at Whitneyville Bible Church is this, to unconditionally love God and others. It's not drastically complicated in the form of the verbiage, but that's difficult to do, isn't it? To unconditionally love God and unconditionally love others, it's challenging for us to do that. Even within the midst of Whitneyville Bible Church, that gets to be a challenge at times for us to love each other like God expects us to love. So what is the law? The law is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the second question let's ask ourselves as we go through this is, what is my obligation to the law? Okay, great. If I speak evil against the law and judge the law, I am speaking about the law. Okay, the law is loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. So what's my obligation? What am I supposed to do with the law? Well, the Bible would argue clearly that we are to show love, grace, and mercy to others. That's how we manifest the law at work. That's how we manifest this idea of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, love our neighbor as ourselves. It means this, that we show love, we show grace, and we show mercy to each other. So how easy is that to do? Well, it's easy to show love to our really good friends because we like them and we get along with them and we hang out with them and everything's wonderful with them. But how about loving somebody that's kind of unlovely? How about loving somebody that maybe frustrates us or maybe annoys us or maybe we just don't understand them at all on any level societally or socially or anything like that, and it's challenging for us to love them? I mean, we would probably say, oh yeah, we love them. But remember, love is first of all a choice. It's a decision I make. I'm going to love them, and then I play it out. Love is an action. So it's difficult for us to love people. How about showing grace to one another? That could be challenging. That could be difficult for us as we live our lives to say, I want to show grace to people, but people frustrate me. We watched an interesting show last night on, it was recorded from about a month ago on 2020 about road rage. That's a fascinating show, a program that they put together about road rage and the responses of people, the videotapes that they showed of people taking golf clubs out and bashing in windshields of somebody who cut them off or somebody who was going a little too slow or running them over, whatever the case was. You want to see an example of people that weren't showing love or grace or mercy to other people? There's evidence on a regular basis as you drive around town of people who are not displaying what their obligation to the law is, to show love, to show grace, to show mercy to one another. It's the whole Matthew 18 principle that gets played out where the man who owed so much money was forgiven and then could not forgive the man who owed him a small amount. So James answers this question, what's my obligation to the law? Well, it's to show love. It's to show grace. It's to show mercy to others. Remember, this is what James has already dealt with in chapter 2, verse 8. In James chapter 2, verse 8, James has already laid out this as a foundation for us when he says this, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So James has already dealt with that. James has already communicated about the law. James has already stated what our obligation to the law is. Of course, we have Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 28, which speaks about loving those enemies of ours, loving those people that are out to do us harm, loving those people that are out to hurt us and to damage us. So the second question we ask is this, what is my obligation to the law? It's to show love, grace, and mercy to others. So far we're still good, at least for the most part. At least we still understand, okay, the law is loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, loving my neighbor as myself. My obligation is I need to do that. I need to show love, grace, and mercy. We haven't really gotten to the heart of what James is trying to get to. But here's the third question. What happens if I don't fulfill the law? James is going to answer this question. He says here in verse 11, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So what happens if I don't want to fulfill the law? Okay, I understand the law. Loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind, loving others as myself. I need to show that. I need to display that. What happens if I don't do that? James says two things happen. The first thing there in verse 11 says, the first thing I do is I judge others and I speak evil about others. If I'm not fulfilling this law, on a practical sense, what does that mean? On a practical sense, that means I'm going to speak evil about somebody. I'm going to judge somebody. I'm going to speak evil about them. I'm going to try to defame them. I'm going to try to slander them. I'm going to try to harm them in some capacity. And I feel fully justified in doing that a lot of times. Because I got so angry, I got so mad, I got so frustrated, I got so irritated that little mom voice in my head that said, be nice, took a hike. And the angry voice in my head that said, you know what, just give it to them, took over. And I justify in my head thinking I can judge them and I can speak evil about them. That's what happens if I don't fulfill the law. But James says there's something deeper that's going on too. Look at what else he says there in that sentence. He judges his brother and he speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So James has laid out for us, okay, what's the law? Remember what the law is. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law, you're doing well. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you're supposed to be doing. If you don't fulfill the royal law, if you don't fulfill the law of loving one another and loving God as he desires, James says, not only are you judging and speaking evil of others, but here is where he goes deeper with us. James says you are actually judging the law and speaking evil of the law. So James says now your issue is not just between you and that person. Now your issue has to do with you and God. See, it's one thing for us to defame somebody and to slander somebody and to speak evil about somebody because we're frustrated with them, we're irritated with them. And again, that little voice in our head from our mom that said, be nice, go somewhere else. And the other voice that says, just give it to them because they probably deserve it, takes over. And James says, you judged them and you spoke evil of them, but you did something deeper. You judged the law and you spoke evil about the law. And James is now going to kind of turn this from, oh yeah, I should be nice and sweet and kind, to wait a second, there is a deeper theological issue going on when you speak evil about other people. And what is happening? What is taking place? The fourth question we need to ask is this: what two types of people are there? As we're kind of laying this all out, putting all these pieces of James 4, 11 through 12 out on the table to try to figure out what James is communicating, what two types of people are there? He says this at the end of verse 11. But if you judge the law, which he said you just did, if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but now you are a judge. So James says there's two types. Okay, there's two types of people. Because somebody may ask this question. Oh, okay. What's the big deal that I judged the law? What's the big deal that I spoke evil about the law? I mean, I wasn't really thinking about the law. I mean, maybe it's there on some level. I was just thinking about the fact that I was irritated with this person and I want to speak evil about them. And then James is pulling the law into all of this. So what's the big deal? Well, James says, here's the big deal. There's only two types of people. There's one person, as he says here at the end of verse 11, he says there's one person that is a doer of the law. And there's another person who is a giver of the law. So James says, you are to be doers of the law. That's where you're just supposed to kind of be. That's where you're supposed to land. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to do the law. This command is for me. I'm not the one that's giving the law. I'm not the one that's putting it out there as the command, but I'm the one that's supposed to be doing it. And so James says there's really two types of people. There's one who does the law, they obey the law, and there's one who gives the law. The people who do the law is a plurality. That's a multitude of people. In fact, every human being ever that has ever lived is a doer of the law. James would argue, and others would argue, as he argues here in verse 12, there is only one person who is a lawgiver. So James says, okay, we've talked about this. What happens if I don't fulfill the law? I'm judging others and I'm speaking evil about them. I'm judging the law and I'm speaking evil of the law. James says you're not a doer anymore. Now you are a judge, a lawgiver. So we need to answer the fifth question, which is this: what is a judge? James is answering all these questions as we just work our way through this. So what is a judge? Well, James answers that question for us in verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. So James says, okay, there's two people out there. There's the doers and the giver. There are a multitude of doers. Every human being ever created is a doer of the law. There is only one, singular, ever has been, ever will be lawgiver. And James says, if you speak evil about somebody, you're judging the law and you're speaking evil about the law, which means you're no longer in the doer category, you're now in the giver category. And what is a giver? What is the lawgiver? James says that's someone who is able to save and to destroy. That's someone who has the power over your life. That is somebody who is holding up an exclusive position that says, you know what? I have the power to save you. I have the power to destroy you. It's someone who is not a doer of the law, but rather a giver of the law. So our sixth question, and then we'll tie all this together, is this: why do I not want to fulfill the law? Remember what James has already argued for? Back up in verse 11, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So why do I not want to fulfill the law? At the end of the day, what is it that is within me that says I will not speak kindly and nicely and show grace and love and mercy to that person? What's going on? Why don't I want to do that? Well, James says this, you judged the law and you didn't want to follow it. So let's imagine, for sake of illustration, these flowers represent the law. Just go with me. These flowers represent the law. And you come tootling along in life, and you come to the flowers. We could probably use the Bible. Maybe that would be a better illustration. Let's use the Bible. We're a Bible church, not a flower church. So let's use the Bible. So you come tootling along, and you pick up the Bible, and it says, hey, wait a second. You are supposed to speak kindly to people. You're not supposed to speak evil of one another. This isn't just the words of some random person. This is the word of God. James says, okay, and he's the only one who can actually give the law, meaning he's the only one who can actually tell you what you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. And so you pick up the Bible and you read, oh, I am supposed to not speak evil of other people. I'm supposed to show love and show grace and show mercy. I'm supposed to show Christ to them, and I'm not supposed to speak evil of them. And you look at the law and you understand the law and you examine the law, and then you say, you know what? Thanks for the offer, God. I'm not interested in that. I would like to take my option of speaking evil about that person right now. Why? Because the little mom voice in your head that said, be nice, went out the window, and the other voice that said, just give it to them, came in. Because we never tie, or we rarely tie, the whole don't speak evil, other than it's just a nice thing to do. Because at the end of the day, we can justify why it was okay for us to slander someone, or defame someone, or speak evil about someone. So what does James say? James says you judged the law. In other words, you took what God said and you said in your mind, you know what? I'm not interested in doing that. So thank you for the offer, God, of telling me not to do that. I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. And James says, okay, we went from this level of, well, I shouldn't do it because it's not nice, to this level where I am now making myself the judge and the indicator of whether or not God is right and I should follow God. So James says this isn't just about being nice. This is about what God has told you to do. You judged the law and you didn't want to follow the law. And James says you actually slandered the law in how you lived. So our seventh question, then we'll tie this together. What happens when I become a judge? Look at verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? That question that James is communicating is weighted with a lot of emphasis. Who are you to judge your neighbor? That question right there should make us stop and make us think, okay, maybe this isn't just about being nice. If you go home this afternoon and you say, you know, the message was about speaking nicely or not speaking evil of other people, not slandering them. Well, why should you do that? Well, because, you know, it's not nice. James says it's deeper than just not nice. It's deeper than, well, you shouldn't do that. Because every one of us will justify in our minds why it's okay to slander or not love or not show grace or not show mercy in that particular situation. Every one of us can justify that in any given situation. James says there's something deeper at play. There's something greater that is going on at play. So what happens when I become a judge? Here's what James is arguing happens. The first thing is this. I remove God from the exclusive position of judge. James says there's only one lawgiver, guys. There's only one person who has the rightful authority to give the law. And when you stand in judgment over the law and say, yeah, I know you said that, but I don't really feel like doing it. You judge the law and you declared yourself to be a lawgiver. And James says there's only one lawgiver. So what did you do? You told God, in essence, to take a hike and that you're now in charge. That, you know what, God, thanks for all the memories and thanks for all the things you've done and thanks for all your authority and your power, but on this situation, I'm now in charge. And you kick him to the curb, so to speak, and you place yourself in charge. This is why Isaiah mentions this in verse 22 of chapter 33. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. So what do? When I judge the law, I come to God's word and it says, don't speak evil of one another. Instead, you're to show the saving faith of loving one another. Remember, this is all tied to chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Where do these quarrels and these fights and these arguments and these issues come from? They come from your flesh because you're not being humble. You're not being submissive. You're proud and arrogant. God opposes you if you're proud. James is saying, here's what's actually happening. You remove God from his exclusive position of judge, and you set yourself up as God. That's what's happening. It's not just about being nice. Why don't we speak evil about somebody else? Why do we avoid slandering people? Why do we avoid defaming people? Why do we avoid not showing love and grace and mercy? It's not just because, well, it wouldn't be nice. It's because when I don't do that, which is the royal law, that is what God has commanded. When I don't do that, I said, God, I didn't feel like following your law. I'm pushing you to the curb. I'm setting myself up as the lawgiver, the exclusive position that you rightfully held. I am God, and I have determined it is okay for me to do this. That's why James says, who are you to judge your neighbor? See, I think there's a lot of Christians that go through life saying, well, I should be nice to people. Like, I should be kind to people. I try hard not to speak evil about people. I try hard not to show grace, love, and mercy. But sometimes it's just necessary. It's just necessary for me to speak my mind. It's just necessary for me to not show love at that point because that person needed it. James says, okay, let's think about that. What you're doing is you're kicking God to the curb, you're setting yourself up as God, you're giving a new law which says, at the moment that Dave Dietz feels like he can slander or defame or not show love or not show grace or not show mercy to someone else, it is fully justified because Dave Dietz has declared. And God is kicked to the curb and you are now set up as God. That's why James would argue this is the blasphemy of a slandering judge. See, it's not just about the fact that it's not nice to do this. It's about the fact that I am committing a blasphemous situation. I am committing blasphemy because I'm saying, God, dude, thanks for the memories, but I can handle it from here. And so you go your way and you go over there. I am now the lawgiver. I have now declared I don't need to follow this. I have now declared that I can judge people and I can speak evil of people and I don't have to show love, grace, or mercy if I don't feel like it. And James says, that's a lot deeper than it's just not nice. That's you physically, spiritually, kicked God to the curb and said, I'm in charge. All of this is playing into verses 1 through 5. All of this is playing into verses 6 through 10 as James is laying this out for us. Why don't we have unity and peace and safety in our relationships in our churches? You say, well, we're human, so it's to be expected. Okay, on some level, maybe, because we struggle with this. But I believe James is making the clear argument, it is possible. It is possible for our churches in the U.S., in Papua New Guinea, wherever they may be, it is possible for us to have unity. It's possible for us to have peace. It's possible for us to have loving, God-honoring, mutually beneficial relationships within our churches. And you know why we don't have them? It's not just simply the trite answer of, well, we're all sinners, so, you know, we're trying. At the end of the day, James says, dude, you guys kicked God to the curb and said you were God. That's why our churches have problems. That's why our churches struggle. That's why we have interpersonal relationship issues with one another. Because at some level, either I or you or whoever's involved is saying, God is no longer in charge. I'm in charge, and I said I can speak evil about you. So what does it take? It's 6 through 10 all over again. It's right back there to that section that says, okay, listen, God opposes you if you're proud. What else could be the epitome of pride than someone saying, I'm kicking God to the curb and I'm in charge? What else could be the epitome of arrogance than saying that? That's exactly what Satan did. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, this is what Satan said. He said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So, who are you acting like when you judge the law, kick God to the curb, put yourself in charge, and said, this is what I'm going to do because this is what I've deemed? James says you're acting like Satan. And the issue we have in churches all across this world is we have people who are acting more like Satan than like Christ. At Whitneyville Bible Church, at any other Bible church, at any other Baptist church, at any other church, it's because we have people who kick God to the curb and say, I want to be in charge. I want to make the rules. I want to give the law. I don't want to be a doer. I want to be a giver. And God, take your exclusive position and go take a hike. I'm in charge. Because that's what James is saying is happening. It's not just, why should we do this? Well, it's nice. Because niceness honestly goes out the window when we get ticked off or irritated or frustrated with people in our church or in our homes or in our workplaces. So James says this, slander comes from judging, which started with judging the law, which said to be merciful to people. So that was the law, be merciful to people, show love, show grace, show the love of God to them. And so slander comes from judging, which started with judging the law. I judge the law and I find I don't want to do what the law says. I don't want to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I don't want to love my neighbor as I'm supposed to. And so now I am slandering the law. I'm slandering what God has said by my actions of not following the law. And now I judge others and I deem them unworthy of mercy, and so I slander them. Why do we speak evil about other people? The root of that issue is this. I don't feel like they deserve mercy. So I slander them. They don't deserve to be treated properly. They don't deserve to be treated biblically. You know what? They don't deserve that. So here, I'm going to defame them. I'm going to slander them. I'm going to destroy them. James says, okay, on one level, that's cool. You can do that. It's not advisable, but you can do that. But here's the deal. If you judge the law, then you put yourself into a different class. You went from being a doer to being a giver, which there's only one person that can be a giver. So you went from being a doer to being a giver. And you are not a doer of the law, but now you're a judge. You're a giver of the law. And some people may say, good, I'm the judge. It's about time I got to have what I wanted. It's about time I got to say what happened. And James follows this back up and says, okay, you're the judge, but guess what? God is a jealous God. And God does not take too kindly to you kicking him to the curb. And God, remember what verse 6 said? God opposes you. Because you are now displaying the pride and the arrogance of Satan. And God arrays himself like a brilliant army around you, and God declares, you know what? You will not succeed. But you want to be humble? You want to be submissive to God, the one true lawgiver? You want to be humble and submissive and do what he says? He's going to grant you the grace that you need for your daily life. Why are some of our lives messed up? At the end of the day, it comes to this very issue. I'm kicking God to the curb and doing what I want. And then we sit and complain, man, you know, I just can't figure out why nothing ever seems to go right for me. I can't figure out why God never blesses me. I can't figure out why God is always against me. I can't figure out why all this stuff is going on in my life. I just can never seem to succeed in my Christian walk. Maybe it's because you've kicked God to the curb and set yourself up as God. And that's why James says in verse 12, dude, who are you to judge your neighbor? You're nobody. You're a doer like every other human being. You're just one of everybody else. There's only one lawgiver. He said to do this. That's what we need to do. Don't speak evil of one another. Show love, show grace, show mercy to one another. Our mission at Whitneyville Bible Church is this, to unconditionally love God and others. Our vision is that we would be a healthy church, which we will be healthy if we're loving God and others as we're supposed to. And then to have a blessed community. In other words, now we're looking to say, how can we bless those around us? How can we bless the people in our communities? How can we bless those people that we work with? How can we bless those people in our neighborhoods? People who set themselves up as God will not be a blessing to other people. It's impossible. God opposes you, but he gives grace to those that are humble. Our striving and our effort here is to be a family. With being a family comes bumps and challenges and issues and struggles. And what do we need? We need grace from each other. We need to love one another. We need to be merciful to one another. We need to extend the lavish grace that God has extended to us through Jesus Christ to others. And there's no way, no way, no way you can ever give more grace than God has given to you. It's impossible. So let's stop being the judge. Let's stop acting like Satan. Let's start letting God be the judge and God be the lawgiver and let God have his exclusive right and let's simply do what he said to do and let's watch him flourish within our midst of allowing us to be humble and submissive to him to allow our relationships to accurately reflect who he is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word this morning, a challenge to us to think about. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Who are we to judge our neighbor? Father, may you help us at Whitneyville Bible Church to be a church that allows God to maintain his rightful place and to be a church that with joy and with happiness thrives in fulfilling the law, showing love, showing grace, showing mercy, not speaking evil, not defaming, not slandering each other. May we be a church that exemplifies the relationship that Jesus Christ wants us to have. We pray these things in your name. Amen.